Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk with Dr. Wayne Anderson is about helping you learn how to create a life of optimal health. We're not talking about your normal health and wellness radio program filled with boring guests talking about the latest berries from Africa or how it will change your life. We're going to discuss the specific steps you need to take in order to move your life forward for real and lasting change. We won't be pumping you with sappy positive pep talks or gloom and doom predictions. This is a show about creating a simple process that will help you adopt the habits of health necessary in creating a healthier, longer life with Dr. Wayne Anderson, author of the best-selling book, Dr. A's Habits of Health. You'll learn just what it takes to reach a healthy weight and create optimal health for the rest of your life. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Wayne Anderson and Russ McCann.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Russ McCann along with Dr. Wayne Anderson, and you're listening to Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk on the Transformation Radio Network. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you get on the path to permanent weight control and help you create a life of optimal health. And here to teach us how to create that amazing life, author of the best-selling book, Dr. A's Habits of Health, let me welcome my good friend, Dr. Wayne Scott Anderson. Dr. A, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Russ. Thank you. This is going to be a great one. It's one of my favorite ones, helping people negotiate through this obesogenic world. So I'm real excited about our topic today.
Yeah, it's an exciting one, and hopefully everyone will walk away with lots of information that they can take back to their kitchens and kind of go through it and start creating that life of optimal health. You know, Dr. A, yesterday I had an opportunity to visit out of San Francisco a food show where food suppliers from all over the country were representing the food distribution business that sells to restaurants. And outside of the produce section, there were thousands of products that were shown and showcased. And out of all those products, I could only find one that was really, really healthy for you. So it started to concern me, you know, that really the industry that I come from, the restaurant industry, really hasn't changed and hasn't really gotten on board with helping create health in our life. And it's a little disturbing, but we're going to change that here on the Habits of Health Talk Radio. And I wanted to kind of roll up our sleeves today and talk a little bit about the healthy eating system. And let's start by talking about how to choose low glycemic foods and why that's so important.
Well, Russ, you know, the world has adapted low glycemic eating, and I'll just spend a moment and explain what I mean by that. In the chapter in the Science of Healthy Eating, we talk about glycemic index. And glycemic index simply means that if you eat a food, specifically it's designed around looking at carbohydrates, how high it raises your blood sugar in about half an hour, 30 minutes after you ingest it, in your blood versus if you had 50 grams of sugar. So we basically compare it to, in essence, eating or drinking raw sugar water or a starch such as white rice. And what happens is when your blood sugar goes up, when you eat a high glycemic food, one that's got a lot of starch or carbohydrates, simple carbohydrates such as sugary substances or starchy substances, what happens is your blood sugar goes up relatively rapidly, and your blood sugar gets higher. And as it gets higher, it stimulates insulin release from your pancreas. And when insulin's released, it then goes and it helps make the blood glucose or the sugar in the blood go into the cells. And what that all translates to in layman's language is that if you have something that has a very high glycemic index or raises your blood sugar a whole bunch, it's more likely to raise your insulin level a bunch. And two things happen. The first thing that happens is you start to wear out the pancreas. You wear out the cells, and the second part is the cells become less sensitive as you go into what we call a fat storage mode because your insulin level is higher and you start developing insulin resistance over time. 70 million Americans have insulin resistance, which is a harbinger and doubles the risk for developing cardiovascular disease such as heart attack and stroke. Beyond that, it puts you in a fat storage mode, so you're more likely to start gaining weight. So the whole goal by eating low glycemic is to turn off your insulin pump and also get it so you're not raising your blood sugar as much. What that will do is turn off fat storage, get you back in a fat burning stage. And the second thing is it's going to let you live longer in a healthier state because too much insulin secretion is directly related to aging and all kinds of metabolic derangement. So the whole thing translates to if we can get you eating low glycemic, we know that it's important to eat carbohydrates. 50% of our intake should come from around between 45 and 55 should come from carbohydrate. So we want to make sure you're eating smarter. That's why a low carb program by itself can't last long term. because you need to have around 50% carbohydrate. That's the way we're designed. That's the way we ate 10,000 years ago. That's the way the food pyramid is set up, and that's the way we're designed as far as that's the type of fuel we need. So we got to just make sure we're making smarter choices. So one of the things they criticism is the rest of the world uses glycemic index, Canada, Australia, Western Europe, and a lot of the civilized westernized countries, which eat a diet which is higher in starch. But what we do in America, we say it's too difficult. So in Chapter 9, I really conceived and created a color-coded system. And in that color-coded system, Russ, what you in essence do is you pick from the deep green. I like a little coin the saying, if you stay in the deep green, you're going to be lean. What's neat is people can get that from the book. They can certainly go to the website and download the charts, and very soon we'll have them in a PDF form where they can actually go right on your personal devices, so you can take them to the grocery store with you. You can use them to judge when you go out to eat. But by eating low glycemic, you're turning off fat storage. You're eating now a whole range of vegetables and fruits and starches that are healthy for you, that will keep you healthy and keep you from going into a fat storage mode.
You know, in the United States, we've developed this amazing USDA food pyramid that they teach in all the schools and talk about what food groups we need to eat. In looking at the food pyramid, it almost seems out of balance when you take a look at the low glycemic index and how we really should be eating.
Well, absolutely, Russ. And the other thing, it doesn't distinguish between good carbs and bad carbs. You know,
sure.
In essence, French fries are a vegetable group, you know,
right.
And donuts are a starch group. And so, you know, and the other thing is, glycemic index is not that difficult to learn when you have this color-coded system. When you look at the food pyramid, it's tough for most people to really truly understand. It's a little confusing, and it doesn't also have anything to do with getting you down to a healthy weight. It is designed for maintenance. So what we did was we created a plate system that has three components. It's 50% fruits and vegetables, 25% protein, 25% starch. It's basically how most Americans eat. You know, most Americans have a meat group, they have a starch group, and they have some vegetables or fruits. And so what we've done is simply take the way Americans eat, what their habits already are, and then turn them into healthy habits, Russ.
You know, often I think of starches as being, you know, bad for you, and certainly, you know, potato, it might be the things we put on the potato that make it so bad. But, you know, when you talk about 25% of, you know, what we should be eating really being in the area of starches, maybe describe for people what a healthy starch might be.
Well, they're the low glycemic starches. Some people aren't familiar, but quinoa is a great example. Rye bread, unrefined flours such as bread and pastas, buckwheat, whole grain pastas, whole wheat bread with bran in it, all bran cereal, you know, even sourdough bread. Sourdough bread is a very interesting phenomenon. Most people don't realize, but because of its pH, in other words, the amount of acid in it, it delays emptying from the stomach, and because of that, what ends up happening is it changes the glycemic index. So sourdough bread is of the white breads is the healthiest because it's got a lower glycemic index. Of course, it still has calories in it, so you have to be cautionary. But there's a whole bunch of whole wheat. The way you should think about grains in general are when they're not husked, when they haven't been processed, when you don't separate them from the seed. They're all very much lower glycemic than they are. The other piece about that, Russ, which is interesting, is it's called pastification. And if you look at pastas, when you serve them al dente, you know, I come on my mom's side, they're Italian, and one of the cute things they used to talk about is, you know, if you throw spaghetti on the ceiling, if it sticks, then you know it's ready to eat, you know, that it's not overly cooked. And when you serve pasta al dente, it lowers about 30% the glycemic index. So it makes it healthier for you because you're not going to get that quick rush and unloading of sugar into your bloodstream.
You know, you talked in the book a little bit about utilizing vinegars and lemon juice and pickling vegetables, and of course you talked about sourdough bread. You know, some of these other things that we can do to help the glycemic influence. Maybe just describe for a few minutes a little bit about how we can use some of these ingredients to help us digest foods better.
Well, that's exactly right. And what's so great about that is that again, you can modify glycemic index is altered by several different things, and one of the ways to alter it is simply by eating foods not separate from each other. In other words, by putting protein, if you have a whole wheat sandwich and then you put tuna fish with it or a nice piece of turkey. That lowers the glycemic index. You know, when the foods are mixed up and when there's more protein in the food, it helps lower it. So something that you might eat by itself, which has got a higher glycemic index when it's eaten as part of a meal. That's why the worst thing you can do is drink a glass of orange juice for breakfast by itself, because it's got a whole bunch of sugar in it. And without having the substance around it, it gets rapidly absorbed. Your blood sugar goes up, your insulin goes up, and that's why the people that run out of the house with a glass of orange juice by 10 o'clock in the morning, they're starved, because what they've done is they've stimulated their insulin, and now their blood sugar is low, and their brain's craving for sugar. So the other parts which are great is you can take them by adding, as you mentioned, some citric acid, you know, either lime or lemon. That will increase the absorption time and lower the glycemic index. And then again, by fiber, adding fiber is a tremendous way to lower the glycemic index. All those are a nice way. And in chapter 11 of the book, we talk about the science of healthy eating and weight loss. And spent a bunch of time mastering fuel, hunger, and waste control, understanding how to literally start eating smart. And you know what? You can enjoy all the sensation, all the taste that you want, and they're actually almost come alive when you're now properly seasoning them and using those seasonings, and by combining them together, you can eat healthy, and it really doesn't allow you to deny yourself.
You're listening to Dr. A and the Habits of Health Talk radio show. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back talking more about how to explore the habits of health in your life. We'll be right back.
Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk with Dr. Wayne Anderson is about helping you learn how to create a life of optimal health. We're not talking about your normal health and wellness radio program filled with boring guests talking about the latest berries from Africa or how it will change your life. We're going to discuss the specific steps you need to take in order to move your life forward for real and lasting change. We won't be pumping you with sappy positive pep talks or gloom and doom predictions. This is a show about creating a simple process that will help you adopt the habits of health necessary in creating a healthier, longer life. Join Dr. Wayne Anderson, author of the best-selling book, Dr. A's Habits of Health, and you'll learn just what it takes to reach a healthy weight and create optimal health for the rest of your life. Tune in each Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk. For more information, visit habitsofhealthtalk.com.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness natural food for pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Now is the perfect time to learn Tai Chi and Qigong. These ancient Chinese healing arts, also called mind-body practice, are simple to learn, clinically proven to be effective, and can be practiced by anyone, anywhere, at any time. For 10 years, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi has been a respected leader in mind-body practice training. Visit IIQTC.org. Empower yourself, empower others. Visit IIQTC.org for more information on mind-body practice. IIQTC.org.
We're back, and you're listening to Habits of Health Talk with Dr. Wayne Anderson. I'm Russ McCann, and we've been talking to Dr. A about how to utilize low-glycemic foods and incorporating that in our diet to help us create optimal health. But before we continue, I'd like to invite you to visit our website and make sure that you take Dr. A's health quiz. Go to habitsofhealthtalk.com. Right on the very front of the website, there's Dr. A's health quiz. Click on that link, and at the end of that quiz, I'd like you to email us your score. It'll give us kind of an idea of just how healthy you are, and you can do that by sending us an email at optimalhealth@hohtalk.com, and I'd certainly invite you, if you're interested in getting connected with a certified health coach, if you aren't working with one today and would like to get connected with a health coach, contact us after the show at 401-388-0778. I'd also like to draw your attention to the website. We've been talking about the low glycemic index and the shopping list that you can download off the website. It's in a very bright blue burst right on the front of the website that'll take you to the healthy eating download that Dr. A was talking about at habitsofhealthtalk.com. I would certainly encourage you to go and check that out. So we were talking with Dr. A, and I'm not sure if we've got Dr. Anderson back yet on the line.
Russ.
Terrific. I just wanted to make sure that we were talking, we talked a little bit about utilizing vinegars and lemon juice and some of those kind of things to help us digest those starches a little bit more. You know, I go to the grocery store and I go to the bread aisle and you see all these different kinds of breads, and we talked about sourdough and that's a great choice. But you see these whole wheat and whole grain and kind of direct us how to go shopping for bread if we want to have bread in our diet.
Well, again, it's all about getting, when it says whole, like whole wheat, any of the breads that are more in their natural state, in other words, they haven't been refined, are much healthier for you. When you refine a bread, you really take the starch and the molecules are put in a position so it's almost like sugar, so it's broken down very rapidly. And the whole key thing to keeping the glycemic index low is to make it a little more difficult, which sounds kind of ironic, but to make it a little harder for the body to digest. So if your food is a little harder to digest, and it takes a little bit more to break down the compounds into their smaller molecules or to their smaller chains, it makes it, they're absorbed much slower, and the body can handle a lot better. It's when you have that big rush. So basically the traditional Wonder Breads, the ones that we grew up on, as kids, those are really the worst possible breads you could eat. And the ones you want are the ones that are of the whole wheat nature. Your brand cereals, again, as we mentioned, sourdough, buckwheat, as far as quinoa and some of the less refined grains. And by having them more in their natural state and not refined, they stay a lot healthier. Not only when you have a high glycemic food does it raise your blood sugar, but it also causes an inflammatory reaction in your body, you know, like high fructose corn syrup or having pure sucrose dramatically increases the inflammatory state in your body. So the more you can stay away, plus the other thing is they make you hungry. You get hungry right away. Sure. That's why, you know, a lot of times when people traditionally eat Chinese food, they always kid around about how it doesn't last very long because it's, you know, got a white rice base. And in a white rice base, basically, it's going to raise your blood sugar, raise your insulin, and then because it's rapidly dissolved, it doesn't have a lot of fiber structure behind it. And so because of that, it will literally very rapidly be metabolized.
Sure. You know, I was looking at the glycemic index charts from your book, Chapter 9, and I would encourage anybody that hasn't had an opportunity to get Dr. A's Habits of Health, you can go right to our website on the front page, click on the link to purchase Dr. A's Habits of Health. It'll be a great guide for you in your life as you begin to create optimal health. And we've been talking about some of the mechanics of, you know, how to shop and how to eat and how to select the right kinds of foods. And Dr. A, I was looking at, you know, I love fruits, and I was looking at the green section of, you know, all the various, you know, blackberries and grapefruit and cherries and lemons and limes. I'm thinking, okay, those are all great, but where does watermelon stand? And then I realized, wow, watermelon is a high glycemic index. Now, you're not advocating that, you know, we're going to have to give up watermelon for the rest of our life, right?
No, absolutely not. What we're doing is we're talking about, again, going back to the plate system, 50% of what you eat in your meals should be fruit and vegetables. And so what we want to do is talk about basically the daily fruits, the ones you can have as much as you want. Listen, we want you having 7 to 9 helpings of fruits and vegetables. Our American diet has such a scarcity of healthy fruits and vegetables. In fact, the average American, 50%, their one vegetable are actually French fries, which is very unhealthy for you. So what we want to do is we want to get you eating fruits every day. The fruits in the green are very low glycemic. You can eat almost as much as you want them. Obviously, there's a little bit of fat in some of them, like the olives and the avocados, that you have to make sure you don't obviously hit just tons of it. But you can eat these every day, and they're not going to raise your blood sugar. Watermelon's a great thing to have on occasion. The summer's coming up, and there'll be those great summer days where you feel like a nice piece of watermelon. Growing up, watermelon was a great part of having 4th of July picnics and barbecues, right, and things we have. And certainly you can have it. And actually, watermelon is a very interesting, even though, and not to complicate it for everybody, but watermelon is kind of one-off because watermelon is such a high content of exactly what it says, water, right, that even though the glycemic index is high, because it's almost all water, the amount of sugar you're really adding to your body isn't that great. So watermelon is kind of one of the other things we look at, which I didn't want to overcomplicate the book because most of them don't fall into that category, but is the total amount of content you're getting in. So glycemic content basically is actually the amount of grams of sugar and the glycemic index together. And actually watermelon, because it doesn't have that much substance to it, it's mostly water, is not that bad for you. So, you know, during the summertime, certainly a great piece of watermelon is great. You just don't want to have tons of it every day, all the time.
You know, I was talking with somebody yesterday about, you know, making healthy choices, and they said, oh, yeah, I mean, I eat lots of fruit, and I eat a banana every day, and that's just part of my diet. I love bananas, and looking at the glycemic index, that's one of the higher glycemic index fruits, and I think it's a little bit more dense, unlike watermelon, like you said, that will actually dissolve in your mouth and mostly water. You know, bananas are really high in sugar, but there's other properties in some of these foods that I think if we incorporate them in moderation or on an occasion, it's fine, but you're not talking about a daily choice of eating 9 or 10 bananas every day. That's probably
absolutely
not healthy.
You know, we love bananas. Bananas have a lot of potassium in it. They're a great source of potassium, and that's why a lot of people eat them. But bottom line is, listen, let me just go back to what we talked about earlier. If you take a banana and you cut it up and you put it on bran cereal, that's healthy. Because first of all, you're lowering the glycemic index simply by putting it with the bran. Second of all, you're cutting it up into pieces and you're having it once in the morning with your breakfast, and that's a great choice. Same thing with blueberries, by the way. Blueberries have a tremendous amount of antioxidants, but they're high glycemic. And if you take blueberries and stick them in a blender and make a shake and crush them up and have a huge shake two or three times a day of blueberries thinking you're going to create health, what you're doing is giving yourself a bunch of sugar. Yeah, you're getting some antioxidants, but if you're gaining weight as a result of it, then the all-over effect is not positive for your body. So the book is all about making sense of all this, bring it into a fashion that makes it easy to do, and puts it so that we create alignment so that all of your daily habits now produce health versus some of them having counter to what you might think they would do.
You know, Dr. A, you talked in, I can't remember exactly where it is in the book, where you start talking about, you know, as Americans, we don't really make very good choices in our day-to-day diet, and that, you know, in other cultures, using the term functional food choices, were really foods that are high in nutrient value, high in things that are good for us, really need to become more a part of our regular diet. And certainly as Americans, we go through the drive-thru for a non-functional food choice. And just kind of wanted to explore a little bit about how that, you know, had an influence in terms of you creating the book and really creating the habits of health in general in terms of creating functional food choices.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, we've actually moved the term. The term was created functional in that they look for foods, and the Japanese were very very importantly involved in actually coining that term. And they're talking about foods that were health, life-giving foods, you know, power of healing effects on your body. And one of the things we can't do in this country because of the FDA and FTC claims, we can't talk directly about foods being functional at healing, stamping out disease. But what we can do is talk about general categories. And one of the things I wanted to really develop in this book was that rather than, you know, looking to create, as we mentioned, the blueberries as being your one thing you have once a day or and think that it's going to make you healthy, that we start making all our food choices wrapped around what I like to call nutritional intervention. It is very clear to me that by intervening and changing your dietary intake, you can dramatically alter your health. And there's no question, by reaching a healthy weight is the first step. A 10% reduction in your weight, Russ, lowers your risk of disease 50%. So although I can't say, well, this food's going to make you healthy, I can say that if you eat low glycemic food, you use portion control, you use the plate system, you use to first get to the healthy weight, our portion control meal replacements to help you get there, all of those things have a dramatic positive effect on lowering your risk for disease. And we can't make the claim, but I can tell you I can't count the amount of people that have described to me being able to lower or eliminate their need for medications over time as they progressively get healthier, reach a healthy weight, and learn to eat healthier. They start to add activity, they're sleeping better. And all of these things, we have great studies showing that being overweight and being obese raises your risk for disease. We know that not sleeping well raises your risk for disease. We know that that not being active and exercising raises your risk for disease. So if you start doing these things active, which lower your blood pressure, lower your cholesterol, basically lower your weight, and allow you to be more active and sleep better and get restorative, regenerative sleep, all these things can move you in the direction towards health. So I kind of coined functional food as being, let's put you on foods that functionally can allow the hearing capacity for your body to heal itself. And that's something that's time has come. It's time for us as Americans and for the world. The obesity has doubled since 1980 in the world population. We're exporting obesity, and a lot is directly related to eating food that I like to term habits of disease, which is, you know, hot dogs, processed food, all this energy dense, high fructose corn syrup products, salt, all those things add to that.
You know, it's really amazing what you've done in your book, The Habits of Health. It's a great guide for life as we begin to make the choices, the better choices in our life to create optimal health. I'm Russ McCann, and you're listening to Dr. A on the Habits of Health Talk radio program. When we come back, we'll be joined by former professional football player and certified health coach David Bush. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk with Dr. Wayne Anderson is about helping you learn how to create a life of optimal health. We're not talking about your normal health and wellness radio program filled with boring guests talking about the latest berries from Africa or how it will change your life. We're going to discuss the specific steps you need to take in order to move your life forward for real and lasting change. We won't be pumping you with sappy positive pep talks or gloom and doom predictions. This is a show about creating a simple process that will help you adopt the habits of health necessary in creating a healthier, longer life. Join Dr. Wayne Anderson, author of the best-selling book, Dr. A's Habits of Health, and you'll learn just what it takes to reach a healthy weight and create optimal health for the rest of your life. Tune in each Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk. For more information, visit habitsofhealthtalk.com.
We're back on Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk with Russ McCann. Many of us in our early 20s and 30s were in the prime of our life, involved in sports, very active, eating everything in sight. What happened to us? I am joined today by former professional football player and now certified health coach who's been utilizing Dr. A's Habits of Health system, David Bush. David, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing extraordinary. Thanks for having me on the line, Russ.
Absolutely. It's my privilege to have you on the show today. And, you know, Dr. A spent a little bit of time in the first part of the show talking about, you know, eating the right kinds of foods. And as a professional athlete, you know, when you're playing football and being very active in your life, you can pretty much eat anything in sight, and probably did there for a while, didn't you?
Well, you know, my parents used to call me the trash can because they could step on my foot and my mouth would open. They'd just throw all the leftovers away in my mouth. And I didn't have a problem with that at all, Russ, until
Sure. Like,
later in my life when I wasn't doing as much exercise.
Right. You know, you hear this time and time again of people that are very, very active, certainly athletes, and the minute they stop playing football or they stop doing the thing that they love so much, they still continued an eating pattern that really created almost a real casualty in their health. And was that the case for you as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the facts, is that I was very unknowledgeable in the area of just what it meant to live a healthier lifestyle. And, you know, I think that all of us kind of just go through the motions and, you know, kind of just raft the river of ordinary health until a problem comes up. And that's what happened for me, is that after playing football and just kind of allowing myself to go down that river of ordinary health, I went over what I call ordinary health falls. And I went over that waterfall of life and ended up having a back surgery. And it really woke me up. It was about half in my life, and it just got me really thinking about, you know, what the rest of my life would look like if I didn't start taking care of my health. And that's when I ended up meeting a guy by the name of Kevin, who ended up losing 50 pounds through Dr. Anderson's Habits of Health system. And it just inspired me to just do it myself, Russ, and that's what got me started on the journey.
Well, you know, it sounds like certainly anything that you do, Dave, you really roll up your sleeves, just dive right in and really make it a big part of your life. And I know you've done that with the Habits of Health system. You know, in talking to you earlier, you also spent a little time about, you know, kind of transitioning into kind of a peak performance coach, and that you were able to incorporate these lifestyle changes in your and then started teaching other people how to create peak performance in their life too.
You bet. Well, you know, after playing professional football, I had a chance to hit the road as a motivational speaker, and I kind of took my motivational story about how I kind of willed my way into professional football, and I shared that with audiences and, you know, challenged them to achieve their goals. But deep down, Russ, I was not achieving one of my own goals, which is my health goals. I graduated high school 327 pounds, and so I just kind of got comfortable being ordinarily healthy until this back surgery situation took place, and that's when it got me going. And then, you know, basically I got started on this program, and 6 months later I'd lost almost 100 pounds, and, you know, now I weigh less than I did in the seventh grade. And it's been, you know, dramatically transformational in my life, and it's got me more passionate about what it means to achieve peak performance. I still do motivational speaking throughout the country, and now I get a chance to inspire people just, you know, by helping them to understand that it's a personal choice. If they choose to get healthy and they choose to pursue optimal health for us, you and I both know that people can achieve so many things outside of what they think they can do by just getting up every day and saying, today I choose to live a healthier lifestyle, and I'm focusing on optimal health as my my apex of the mountain, so to speak, and I'm not going to allow myself to stop short of that. And when I made that fundamental choice, it dramatically changed everything that I had thought about the idea of what it meant to, you know, eat right and exercise. I was no longer focused on, you know, eating superfoods or, you know, trying to manage calories. I just simply made a choice about what it would look like to eat optimally healthy. And Dr. Anderson's book and all the education that he provides and the simplicity in what he provides and the whole color-coded shopping system, I mean, that just did it for me. And it was just such an easy transition for me that I've been able to stick the landing. I still tell people I'm a recovering fat guy. You know, I'm still trying to, you know, get rid of some of those bad habits, but I'm not allowing bad habits to run my life. I'm just organizing my life around what matters most, which is my health first and foremost. And I'm just making decisions that just continually move me forward towards where I really want to go, and that's to become optimally healthy in all three areas of life, body, mind, and finances.
You know, the thing that you've kind of centered your not only your speaking engagements, but certainly your consulting businesses, you're helping people change their health perspective is around creating extraordinary results. And, you know, one of my coaches in one of the workshops that we were doing in Northern California, talked about a phrase that he used, and we've kind of coined it as well, which is ordinary effort over time yields extraordinary results. And, you know, we often think that we have to, you know, get into the gym and do this big nutritional program that's very, very difficult. And quite frankly, most of us either hurt ourselves or fail in the process because we're trying to bite off more than we can chew, pardon the pun. But it really is about that simple start of getting up in the morning and saying, today I'm going to choose to create health in my life, starting with my first meal, and really creating these simple, small, step-by-step, baby-step daily choices that really create extraordinary results in the end.
Well, you know, I've come back to the idea that, you know, you can get extraordinarily healthy in just 28 days, and I've been challenging audiences around the country to accept my extraordinary health challenge. And the word extraordinary, Russ, and I'll make this quick, but it's defined two different ways. And the first definition is to go above and beyond what's usual, regular, and customary. It's not the second definition that comes first in the dictionary, which it says exceptional to a very marked extent. And so many people think that they, to achieve optimal health or extraordinary health, that they have to be exceptional in everything that they do to a very marked extent. And I tell people, just start with the basics. Dr. Anderson lays it down in a very simple to understand manner, where if you just go above and beyond what was usual, regular, and customary, what you did last week or what you did yesterday, and today you make the fundamental choice to get a little bit healthier, and you have that kind of attitude, over time, exactly what you just said, is that those ordinary efforts, just going above and beyond what's usual, regular, and customary, turn into exceptional results to a very marked extent. I can't tell people enough that they can do so much more than what they think they can do. My coach challenged me and said, Dave, what do you think you could do in the next year if you really put your mind to it as it relates to your health? And I had never been below 250 pounds as an adult, and so I threw it out there and said, you know, I'd like to weigh 225 pounds. That was my ideal weight. And Russ, in less than 17 weeks, I ended up losing 75 pounds and using Dr. Anderson's system. And it blew me away that I kept going. And it's just absolutely amazed me of just not my own story, but now my dad, 67 years of age, type 2 diabetic, he's lost 35 pounds. My brother's lost 25 pounds. I mean, I've just seen so many friends, family members that have transformed their life with simple habits that are just above and beyond what's usual, regular, and customary and repeated on a daily basis.
You know, we talk a lot about the fact that, you know, many people just after the first of the year get into the gym and go on a diet and do everything they can to try to get into that bikini come summertime. And, you know, we go about it in such an, what we think is a very systematic way, but usually by March, this is usually about the time where the gyms are empty again and people are going back to their old habits. It's cold outside and they start really creating all these comfort foods and really don't stick to their overall goal because, quite frankly, they didn't really set the proper wheels in motion. And Dr. Anderson's really laid out in the Habits of Health, just a starting point. Where do you stand in your life today? Take the health quiz, which is right on top of the website at habitsofhealthtalk.com, and you'll see very clearly that a lot of the things that you're doing in our day-to-day life are not really moving us towards health. And so you've been able to utilize Dr. A's system in really creating an amazing life, not only for yourself, but for many of the people that you come in contact with. You know, we've got a few minutes, and I'm going to hold you a little longer, Dave, but I want us to get started on, you know, you created, along with Dr. A and the Habits of Health, you know, 11 steps, top strategies to helping you really create an amazing life in 2011. If you wouldn't mind, you know, I'd like to go all the way through that, and we'll carry you over the next commercial because I think it's that important that people realize that it really is just a few simple strategies to change their life. So if you wouldn't mind sharing that with us.
You bet. Well, to start out, I think that everybody needs to know, you know, kind of what their goal is. And I think that if you just have a simple 28-day health goal that you can work towards, that would be a good place to start because most people can stay focused and on point for 28 days. And that's really what I did is I just simply said, okay, 28 days from now, here's where I'd like to be at. Most people, it starts with a weight loss goal, but you know, you got to make sure that it's something that's specific. If it's not weight loss, you got to come up with something else. It's a specific goal, something that's measurable, something that's achievable, realistic, and time sensitive. And we start there and just make sure that we've got good focus on where it is that we're trying to go. And then I really strongly recommend having a good list of reasons of why you want to go there. Because if you don't have a strong why, Jim Rohn said this, famous business speaker, but he said, you know, when the why is stronger, the how becomes a whole lot easier. And, you know, I've heard the phrase before by a guy named Dan Bell that you're familiar with. It says, when the dream is big enough, the facts don't count. And so you got to get really powerful dreams and goals that are standing in front of you, and you got to have good reasons to achieve it. And then the second thing you got to do is you got to make sure you got a good action plan. And Dr. Anderson's program provides a fantastic action plan, Russ, as you well know. And it provides the secondary choices that you're going to have to do and take each and every day or week or month to make sure that you get to where you want to go. If you want to lose weight, then you're going to have to probably drink some extra water than what you have been drinking and probably give up maybe some of the sodas or not as much of the diet sodas or the non-caloric drinks. And then make sure that you get some, you know, activity in. Over time, just try to increase your activity that's just above and beyond what's usual, regular, and customary. The third thing that I recommend people do is to just restock your kitchen and get rid of the temptations or just, you know, move the crunchy carbohydrates and the cookies and the crackers, anything that starts with a C, move it to a special designated spot. And just know that that's the spot that you should not be going into for the next 28 days
right.
If you really want to go through a nutritional training program.
Let's cover one more point, Dave, and then we're going to take a short break and then we're going to come back to your list.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I both know that the top five people that we spend the most time with are the ones that are going to end up dictating to us, you know, the life that we live typically because there's a power of association. So I strongly recommend that everybody just explain to their friends and family members that they've decided to take a 28-day health challenge and that they're committing to healthier choices and that they'd like their support from them. They may not do it, but it'll just be a good place to kind of set the rails down in front so that the train will run on the tracks. Otherwise, if those rails aren't laid, you know, we may have a friend or family member that derails us, and we don't want that to happen.
Before we take a break, I'd like to tell you how to get in contact with us. You can do so at habitsofhealthtalk.com by email at optimalhealth@hohtalk, and by phone after the show at 401-388-0778. You're listening to Habits of Health Talk on the Transformation Radio Network. We're going to take a short break, but when we return, we're going to have David spend more time finishing out the top 11 strategies for getting and staying healthy in 2011. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk with Dr. Wayne Anderson is about helping you learn how to create a life of optimal health. We're not talking about your normal health and wellness radio program filled with boring guests talking about the latest berries from Africa or how it will change your life. We're going to discuss the specific steps you need to take in order to move your life forward for real and lasting change. We won't be pumping you with sappy positive pep talks or gloom and doom predictions. This is a show about creating a simple process that will help you adopt the habits of health necessary in creating a healthier, longer life. Join Dr. Wayne Anderson, author of the best-selling book, Dr. A's Habits of Health, and you'll learn just what it takes to reach a healthy weight and create optimal health for the rest of your life. Tune in each Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk. For more information, visit habitsofhealthtalk.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness natural food for pets. This is where true wellness begins.
We're back, and you're listening to the Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk radio program on the Transformation Radio Network. Tune in each and every Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the East Coast or 12 noon out on the West Coast for some of the most exciting health talk radio program that you can hear on the air today. Visit our website, habitsofhealthtalk.com. And I'd like to also draw your attention. We've got guest with us, former professional football player and certified health coach David Bush. And we're going through the top 11 strategies for getting and staying healthy in 2011. And I'm going to put those strategies on the guest page, on David's guest page on the website at habitsofhealthtalk.com. Just click on guest page, find David Bush, and we'll put that document out there so that you don't have to write it down if you're scrambling for a pen and wondering if you're going to miss something. But the last one that you covered, David, was really explaining to family members how important it is that you're really creating a healthy choice and you'd like them to support you. And the next one I know is really an important one, and that's talking about the subject of journaling.
You bet. And, you know, so some people have a different thought process on what journaling can be and should be and all those things, but I just, you know, challenge individuals to make it be what they need it to be. For me personally, I didn't need to write down a lot of thoughts and personal experiences. I just needed to write down what I ate and how I felt when I ate it, and just a simple tracking system that kind of gave me a little bit more of a history as to, you know, what happened and why I did certain things and how I could maybe associate those events with certain triggers that maybe have caused me to make a bad choice. And so, you know, I did a food journal for a full 17 weeks, Russ, and it was a very educational experience. It was at first an inconvenience, but once I got into the habit of doing it, it taught me a tremendous amount about what I was consuming and what I was doing for exercise, and it really encouraged me to take the next day. The number sixth item is to plan your day. You know, there's a great quote by Jim Rohn, one of my favorite speakers, and he says, you know, if you fail to create your own plan, Russ, chances are you'll fall into somebody else's plan. And guess what they got planned for you?
Right.
Not much, you know. And so when it comes down to your individual plan, is that what is it that's going to help you to achieve your health goals and help you to achieve optimal health? Lay your plan out. Know when you're going to eat, what you're going to eat, as best as you can. You don't have to do this forever, but you can get into the habit of doing it. And once you get into the habit of doing it, it just becomes like a second course of nature. It's not something you have to think about. You just do it, and you just make it happen. And because you've done it so often, you really don't have to spend a lot of time with it because it's so easy. The seventh item, and this is, again, one of those things that it's up to you personally of how you begin to put this to good measure, but, you know, using measuring cups and smaller spoons and kitchen scales to know that you're eating the right amount of food, you know, I just had a real hard time with understanding what portion sizes were, and Dr. Anderson's program makes it real simple and easy, but, you know, for me personally, I had a hard time understanding that I could survive on less. And what Benjamin Franklin said 200 years ago really stuck true to me now, and I still think this to this day. But he said, since the invention of cookware, mankind has eaten twice the amount that nature requires. And that was 200 years ago, Russ. And so I think that each and every one of us have got to maybe scale back and stop, you know, maybe eating for entertainment or feeding ourselves for fun and look at, to, you know, fueling our bodies for maximum performance.
You know, David, you know, yeah, David, when I was going through this journey like you did, you know, the scale was one of those things. I had to actually go out and buy one because, quite frankly, I wasn't sure what a, you know, 7-ounce portion of seafood looked like or a 6-ounce chicken breast. You know, I grew up in the food business, and a 6-ounce chicken breast was always based on raw weight. And what Dr. A talks about in the Habits of Health is really cooked weight. And so I didn't know what that looked like. And I was surprised. I was actually underutilizing my food portions, and I wasn't getting enough of the right kinds of food. So it's really, really critical. That's a great strategy, making sure that you're measuring, you know, maybe not forever, but it's a great shot to say, what does it look like? So now when you go out to eat, you can realize what it's going to look like for you. So that's a great tip.
I challenge a lot of individuals with a simple phrase, and I say, you know, Russ, are you ready to get extraordinary results for a change? And most people will start nodding their head and saying, yes, I'm ready for extraordinary results, Dave. But I emphasize on the word change, because I said, you know, are you ready to get extraordinary results for a change? And sometimes it requires you to change up how you're doing things for a period of time, like measuring things, or, you know, number eight is to always start your day with a healthy meal first thing in the morning. Some people just don't want to do that because they don't feel hungry. But, you know, what we've learned through Dr. Anderson's coaching is that, you know, that's the most important meal of the day, having a good fueling to kind of put a log on the fire to get that fire started, to, you know, crank up the metabolism and to make sure that you manage, you know, hunger throughout the day. All these things are just little small changes that you can do. And if you just take these small, simple steps in a very structured methodology so that you don't overwhelm yourself. You know, you can't go out there and sign up for the 10-week, you know, exercise program and change all your health habits and then change your journaling structures. That's a huge life change. But if you do it over a period of time and you start incorporating little habits and you follow the structure that Dr. Anderson gives, it's achievable. The number nine item is to eat slowly. You know, taking at least 20 minutes to eat, even on a smaller portion, and having a glass of water or a non-caloric beverage to sip on in between bites and just making sure that you enjoy and savor those bites. And in today's fast-paced lifestyle, this is a continual challenge for me. I have a lot of good things that I want to accomplish, and I got a lot of great things that I'm working towards. And sometimes taking the time to eat and enjoying what we've been given and the provisions that we have and really appreciating it has been sometimes a challenge. But this will help you to, you know, take in less food, and it'll end up helping you to maintain a healthy body weight or decrease your body weight. And then number 10 is to distract yourself when cravings strike. This is just having that mentality that Dr. Anderson talks about in his book of stop, challenge, and choose. You know, stop what you're doing. Just stop whatever it is that you're doing. If you're walking towards the cupboards and you're ready to tear it apart like a bear, just stop for a moment and challenge your thinking and choose what would maybe be a different strategy that would help you to give yourself a little more time. I just gave myself 15 minutes and a glass of water. That's all I did to just choose a different, healthier strategy. I didn't tell myself I wasn't going to eat something after I drank that water. I just simply said, hey, Dave, you promised yourself, drink a glass of water and wait 15 minutes when that craving strikes. And usually what happened, Russ, is that 15 minutes later, the craving was passed, the water did its good, And, you know, we've learned that 30% of our hunger pains are hydration related. So
right.
That in itself just made me, you know, more aware of the healthy habits.
You bet.
The last one, number 11, is to take charge at restaurants. You know, going back to that plan concept is that, you know, if you don't create your own plan, chances are you'll fall into somebody else's plan. And these restaurants, and you know from your background, Russ, is that the restaurants have a marketing plan. And those marketing plans are backed by, you know, fast food's $130 billion a year industry. And so they've got money to study our behavior habits. They know our habits better than we do. And so when you walk into a fast food restaurant, they are prepared to put you into a process that's going to help them to manage and to benefit from what you want, not what you need. And when they find out what you want and offer what you want in flavors that you enjoy and portion sizes that look very enjoyable, you're going to fall into their marketing plans. And so you just need to be prepared, split your meals in half, be prepared to say no to bread, you know, have a quick snack before you go, and then order some appetizers versus a full-blown meal. I mean, the meal options now are totally out of whack, and I've started to use the 7 to 9 inch plate theory inside of Dr. Anderson's book and begin to use that as a strategy long-term. Even when I go to restaurants, I'm looking at that plate size, and because I'm now more aware, Russ, it's helped me to make some healthier choices. And I don't say that I'm perfect, but because I've got education and I know what to do with simple habits, I've been able to transform my life.
David, thank you so much for being on the show today. You've just been a delightful guest, giving us some great food for thought. And I would just invite anybody that if you've got an opportunity to connect with a health coach, certainly get in connection with the person that asked you to listen to this broadcast. If you do not have a health coach, I would encourage you to go to our website at habitsofhealthtalk.com and hit the contact us page, and we'll put you in touch with a certified health coach that will begin to move your life forward. Our website again is habitsofhealthtalk.com. You can reach us by telephone after the show at 401-388-0778. I want to thank my co-host, Dr. Wayne Anderson, for sharing his amazing solution. Again, David, for being just an inspirational guest and giving us some very, very successful tips as we create health in our life. I'd like to thank you for tuning in. Invite you to come back next week where we have more from Dr. Wayne Anderson. Remember, it's never a great day to start a diet, but today is a great day to create the habits of health in your life. Go out and make it a great week.
You've been listening to Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk with Dr. Wayne Anderson. For more information about Dr. Anderson, author of the best-selling book, Dr. A's Habits of Health, and how to reach a healthy weight and create optimal health for the rest of your life, tune in each Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for Dr. A's Habits of Health Talk. Visit habitsofhealthtalk.com. That's habitsofhealthtalk.com.